Thanks for joining us for the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. MassMEP believes that there are some elements to a manufacturer's business, whether it's finding their inefficiencies, strengthening their internal processes, or even unlocking their growth, that can extend a manufacturer beyond its current limitations. So every episode, take a journey with us as we speak with manufacturers, legislature, subject matter experts, and so many more as we head down the path of manufacturing across the state of Massachusetts. Whether we're in Boston, Worcester, or out in Springfield, maybe even in the Berkshires, we'll be here every week and we'll explain to you more about manufacturing and what's happening right in your own backyard.
Welcome everyone to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast. I'm your host, Haley Steele.
And I'm the marketing coordinator at MassMEP. My name's Emma Mailman.
Emma Mailman gets to your introduction. It's so exciting. She's
first
like, yes, yeah, super nervous. Like, oh, I get to introduce myself. Yes, you do. Yes. So today we are here to talk about change happens, express helps. So what is that exactly? A lot of you are like, change happens, express helps. Well, there's a little clue in there. It's the word express. The Express program is brought to you by the Workforce Training Fund at the Commonwealth Corp. And it provides employers fast, simple access to grant-funded training, helping businesses in Massachusetts respond to their emerging needs. It is fast, it's flexible, and it's friendly. And we'll dig into that a little bit more because today with Emma and I, we have with us Kristen Rain, who is the outreach manager of the Workforce Training Fund at the Commonwealth Corporation. Welcome, Kristen.
Thanks, Haley. Thanks, Emma.
Glad you're welcome. Thanks for being here with us. So I think, Kristen, you're our first time guest with us. And what they say in the radio biz is first time guest, long time listener. But I'm going to go with your first time guest. Most people, it's going to be their first time listening as well once they're on our podcast.
I look forward to tuning in the future.
Right? Exactly. Yeah. This is how we get our subscribers. So we ask people to come on and be guests with us. And then we're like, don't forget to subscribe. Then they're hooked. They can't let us go. So yeah. So welcome. Thank you for joining us today. And because you are our first time guest, we do have a little bit of a process. We always ask our guests a question. Are you originally from Massachusetts, Kristen?
I am.
Yeah. And I saw that you are a Northeastern alum.
Yes. I was part of the first MERP program through the Dukakis Center, the Center for Urban and Regional Policy at Northeastern. I was part of the pilot program that started in 2009.
That's awesome. So, and the reason I ask you that is because I'm going to ask you this question. Was there a class that you took in college that you still possibly reference or use today in your job that you do?
That is a very good question. Well, there's one thing I learned, although I can't say that I actually adopt it because I think it's very hard for anybody that does a PowerPoint presentation. The whole rule about not having more than 5 words per slide.
Yes, yes.
Our slides tend to be a little wordy. There's a lot of information. But as far as things that I remember, one of the things that Barry Bluestone, the dean at the time, had said that we should always keep in mind is unintended consequences. So for everything that you do, think about what may occur that you weren't intending. So, and also to be a little bit skeptical, you know, when you're thinking about public policy programs. And I'm by nature not a skeptical person, but the whole unintended consequences thing, he said, if there's one thing you remember, remember that. So that'll stick with me for a while.
Wow. I like that. I haven't heard that one.
Yeah, that's pretty cool. Like, this is an unintended consequence. This podcast that you're on, right?
You put your name on the Workforce Training Fund website, people will call you and want you to do podcasts.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. So we're going to use that. And I ask a lot of these, I'm starting to ask a lot more questions about college and stuff because Emma is she's a fresh right out of college, just got her MBA. So we're trying to teach her the ropes. She's getting a pretty great exposure, I think personally, for a first time, like, real job and getting to network like this. So, I mean, would you disagree, Emma?
No, not at all. I think, like, one of the perks of working for MassMEP is that we're constantly in communication with other companies and people. So I don't just get to learn from the company I work within, but you know, there's a huge network out there of people that I'm starting to connect with.
Yeah. So, and that's where you come into play, Kristen. And let's kind of talk about, so you're the Workforce Training Fund. Give us an overview of what the Workforce Training Fund is.
Sure. So the Workforce Training Fund was enacted in 1998 and signed into Massachusetts state law. And its purpose is really to give Massachusetts employers the financial resources that they need in order to train and upskill their incumbent workforce. So existing and new employees. So it's, I think it's important to note how it's paid for. So it's paid for by Massachusetts employers through a small surcharge on unemployment insurance. So essentially it's paid for through a payroll tax.
Yeah.
And that aggregates somewhere between $18 and $22 million every year to be used for these Workforce Training Fund grants.
That's fantastic. So it really is the way that the Commonwealth was like, you're contributing to this, and this is our way to give it back to you. So you're really kind of going through full circle of what they're contributing in and gaining back from it. Do you feel like the knowledge of it or the out to the businesses in Massachusetts, do you think it's well known, or do you see sometimes you're still trying to educate people on it more and more?
It's definitely well known by enough people that we actually allocate all that money we take in every year.
Wow.
But I do experience when I do these info sessions across the state, one of the most common reactions is, wow, this is a great program, often followed by, how did I not know about it till now? So that's always the struggle, is you want to make sure that you're getting new people into the fold, learning about the program. And, you know, obviously through resources like this, info sessions that we do, public partners, there's always more work to be done. There's always businesses that are not going to know about the Workforce Training Fund. And that's really my mission, is to make sure every business, every employer in the 351 cities and towns in Massachusetts knows about the fund. If they're contributing to it, I want to make sure that they know about it so that they can take advantage of it.
Yeah, I agree. And I think we feel the same way. And we kind of, you know, on our staff, we have Jim, they call him James Gusha. I call him Jim Gusha, or some like to call him the Gush. And Lisa Derby Odin, we also call her LDO. So this is what happens when you work in a state, a nonprofit, you get these fun little nicknames for people. Although any other company is probably like, yeah, we get those nicknames too. It doesn't have to be nonprofit, but that's what we like to say. But they, you know, between Lisa and Jim, we feel the same way. And that's, you know, that's why we love this partnership that we have with you and what we do. And as you're coming into a really big change, I'm not sure, maybe you won't call it a change, but you do, it is in your, kind of in your tagline, change happens, express helps. And that's the express program, but there are a couple programs that you do offer, correct?
That's right. Mm-hmm.
What are those programs that you have that exist out there?
Sure. So the Workforce Training Fund, and I just want to take a minute to point out too, that it's a program that is run by, or I should say, it's a program of the Executive Office of Labor and Workforce Development. And Commonwealth Corporation, my employer, administers the program on behalf of EOLWD. So when I talk about our public partners, I'm talking about the Executive Office of Labor, I'm talking about the network of mass hire across the state, the workforce boards, the career centers, et cetera, you know, the network of community colleges, the industry associations. So there's really a lot of ways that people can find out about us. And a lot of times people find out about us through a training provider themselves. Mm-hmm. So the programs that we offer to date include three programs: the Express Program, the Small Business Direct Access Program, and the General Program. So as of July 1, we will be merging two of the programs into essentially what will be Express and the General Program. So up until now, we've had two programs, Express and Small Business Direct Access, geared specifically towards the needs of small businesses. And what we found was there was very little overlap in between the two. So as you're familiar with Express, it offers a 50% reimbursement from a directory of thousands of courses where new courses can be added all the time.
Right, right.
And then the value proposition of Small Business Direct Access was that there was a finite list. There's 23 training providers that have been awarded grants. So we've paid for those seats for them to offer to employers, to employers at no charge, but it's a finite list. So it isn't some of the most in-demand topics, but there's only 100 courses to choose from.
Right.
So what we've done with this revamp, I should say, a relaunch of Express, is we've rolled in the Small Business Direct Access attributes, which is a fully reimbursable option for small businesses, which we define as under 100 employees, with the flexibility of the Express Course Directory, which many businesses have come to know and enjoy because it's dynamic. There's courses being added all the time that they'll not be able to choose from.
We were very big and very involved in the Small Business Direct Access program. And when we heard about this new opportunity, I don't think we could contain ourselves as an organization because we knew what amazing opportunities this was going to be able to provide to those small companies. Like you said, 100 employees or less. I've actually had some people, one gentleman in the past said to me, I wouldn't consider ourselves small. We do $22 million a year. And I said, that's fantastic. That's great. You do $22 million a year, but it really doesn't have anything to do with the amount of income, you know, your ROI. That's not what we're looking at. Your bottom line, we're actually looking at employees. So under 100 employees, and knowing that we're one of those training providers, you know, we offer those training programs, and to open up this course offerings that we have, just, we're super excited about it. I mean, we can't wait for this to happen. So you did say, so July 1st. So then as of July 1st, and when this kind of goes away, or the Small Business Direct Access program kind of merges in, what changes with that? You know, like application processes, timelines, all of those kind of things. Like, what are the nitty gritty details?
Sure. So first I'll start with, if you have a course that's been listed in the Small Business Direct Access, you've probably already listed it in the Express directory. So then a business that's seeking training can go to the directory and choose your course. So I'll just clarify what the changes are going to entail. Essentially, for small businesses, which we define as under 100 employees, training will be fully subsidized, meaning they'll get 100% reimbursement. Businesses with over 100 employees will be able to get a 50% reimbursement on their training. I mean, this was done through, you know, just hearing from the business community. We actually sent out a survey that we were pleased to get over 200 responses from small businesses, including minority-owned, women-owned enterprises, and businesses that have been part of the Workforce Training Fund and businesses that have not been part of the Workforce Training Fund, to really get an understanding what their needs were. And the survey was really insightful. So when we asked, what do small businesses want the most from the Workforce Training Fund? They told us first and foremost, they want a clear and simple grant process.
Right.
And second, a wide variety of reimbursable courses. And then third, flexibility to add trainings as these needs develop. Mm. We also learned that most small businesses do plan to invest in more training this year versus last year, hovering around $10,000, which is a 30% increase. And finally, the majority of businesses in the survey, over 91%, said they'd invest more in training this year if it was fully reimbursed.
Oh, wow.
And so nearly all the respondents said, yes, they can pay for the training out of pocket if they knew it was going to be reimbursed.
Wow.
So you'd asked about the nitty gritty. Should I talk sort of through like the process of applying?
Yeah, let's do
okay.
it. Why not?
Great. So when you go to our website, which is workforcetrainingfund.org, and you navigate to the Express program page, you'll see a really easy to understand user guide that walks you through the steps. Mm-hmm. So first off, I would suggest any business that's looking to take advantage of the Workforce Training Fund does a needs analysis. Are their needs smaller scale that can be met with some of the one-off, two-off courses in the Express program, or are they larger scale that they want to roll out to the company as a whole? Because that really will help determine if they're going to be starting with the Express program or the general program, okay. Knowing that you can have both.
Right.
But the steps for the Express program are that you first you go on our website, you look at the directory, the Express directory, and find the course or courses that you're interested in applying for. Then you need to get your certificate of good standing from the Massachusetts Department of Revenue. You can link to that in several places from our site. And it just goes to show that you're up to date on your taxes to the state, any financial obligations. And then third, you want to contact the training provider and enroll in their course. But you need to leave at least 3 weeks or 21 days lead time so that when you submit your application, there's at least 3 weeks before the course starts. Otherwise, there won't be enough time for that approval process.
Okay.
Because once you submit your application to the Workforce Training Fund, you'll get approval from us where you just e-sign something and then you're good to go. Essentially, you just enroll the course with the directory. So those steps can happen interchangeably. You can either contact the provider and enroll or submit your application and then enroll after, as long as the application is 3 weeks before the course starts. Okay. And then once your employee completes the course, you'll send a proof of payment that you've paid the trainer to the Workforce Training Fund. And depending on the size of your business, we'll send you a reimbursement for either 50% of the total cost of training or 100% of the total cost of training.
So is there, when you say the reimbursement, Kristen, can you talk a little bit about, obviously it's not a, what would we say, money tree that's in the backyard, right? It isn't an open bank account. There is a limit on it, correct? And a certain amount that they can use per person, per class, and then even maybe over the year's time?
Right. So each course will be reimbursed up to 50% per person per course.
Okay.
For, again, a larger business, over 100 employees. And each course will be reimbursed 100% per person per course for smaller businesses, so under 100 employees. A business can get up to $30,000 reimbursement in a given year.
Wow. That's fantastic. That is a huge number. And it, when you really calculate the return on that investment, it's almost exponential in what they'll actually get back from that, you know, to have that $30,000 in training. I don't really know if you can even put a number to, you know, the amount of training that you can receive for that value that's put out there. So being able to do that makes a huge difference for some of these companies. So I'm going to ask you this question, and this is probably a question we're going to get a lot of, is a lot of companies that we had enrolled in the Small Business Direct Access Program. Mm-hmm. It's basically they just follow this process, right? They don't have to, there's not going to be an enrollment where then they, you know, do all those things where they did before and they enrolled and then they had to wait to get approval. And then once they were in the program, it was valid and they were good in the program. But this, when they apply, they just need to make sure they apply, they have the correct paperwork, which is their certificate of good standing from the Department of Revenue, because for whatever reason, the state of Massachusetts likes to provide two certificates of good standing and one is not the right one. So we don't talk about it. It's like Fight Club. What happens in Fight Club, we don't talk about, right? At a Fight Club. So the same with this, you want the Department of Revenue is your certificate of good standing. Those certificate of good standings, they are only valid for, is it 6 months?
6 months. So when you apply, the date on that should be less than 6 months.
Okay. So we need, is that really probably the biggest thing that they would have to just kind of make sure that they watch over during, you know, the year's time. If you're going to get one, you need to make sure that if you're going to apply in, you know, if a 6 month time period goes by for them to apply to go to one of these training programs, to make sure that it's, it is still valid within the 6 months. And if not, they will have to reapply with the Department of Revenue to get another certificate of good standing.
Right. It's definitely something that you actually do need for most of the state programs, if not all. So it's a good thing to just make sure that you have one up to date so that you can take advantage of any opportunities that come up. Mm-hmm. If somebody put it on their calendar to do every 6 months, I mean, I don't know that people do that, but I do recommend that people do it earlier in the process rather than later, because you don't want to have your application held up. Yeah. Waiting for that, because it might just be something like small that's been holding up the certificate. So just get any issues resolved earlier rather than later. And then, you know, from that point that you get it, you have 6 months to apply.
Yeah. Yeah, we do. We actually put it on our calendar. Good for you guys. Because we, just as much as we offer it, we also participate in it as well. You know, we're a small business. We're under 100 employees. So we were able to, Emma was able to attend trainings. I was able to attend trainings. And so we take advantage of it because we do the same thing. So yeah, we do every 6 months. It actually, we always say, you know, on our side, our controller is the one that does that for us, but every company's different. So yeah, we're one of those nerdy groups that has a calendar reminder every 6 months, get a new COGS. So certificate of good standing, we like to call it a COGS.
And once you've done it once, you kind of know their drill, right? Yeah. It's not that difficult. It's just a matter of doing it.
Yeah, that's pretty much how it goes. So this may sound like a really silly question, but I have this down that I'm going to ask you this, that why would a company do this? And then the second I wrote it, I wrote, why not? Right. It really does make sense for any company to be able to use this, this program have you seen that? I guess that's the other question I want to ask too, is because of what we've been through in the past year and a half, have you guys seen a big incline in this where more companies are getting into it because of what's happened?
We have in both programs, both Express and the general program. So it was interesting when we were looking at the Express numbers, we saw that when we look at Q1 calendar year, mm-hmm. we saw a 40% increase in the number of applications for Express. So 2021 versus 2020.
Wow.
And then a 50% increase in the actual amount requested. Wow. So we think that momentum will continue, especially mm-hmm. with, the changes that we're making to offer some fully subsidized training through Express. And we've also seen an increase in the general grant applications. March was like a banner month. I think it was a record year for the general program. It seems to have leveled off a little bit. So, mm-hmm. you know, we don't know where things are going to fall. We're not in a position where we don't have enough money to fund competitive applications that come in. But, you know, if volume increases, you know, certainly there could be more competitive applications. But one thing I want to stress too, is that it's not like a pie in the sky grant. It's not like you have the slim chance of getting and you have to cross your fingers. Like speaking about, you know, the general program, which is the larger of the two, if you have a well thought out training plan, if you've identified what your business objective is, which is often, you know, what's the business need that you have, what's the problem, or maybe what's the opportunity that you're trying to solve with training, you have a cohesive training plan that makes sense, and that there's going to be some outcomes that you're going to tell us, you know, things that you're already measuring that are important to you, whether it's reducing lead time or increasing customer satisfaction or whatever it might be. Then you have a very good chance of getting awarded. And I'll just back up for a second to talk about the Express program. You choose your training from the directory of courses mm-hmm. we talked about. And then with the general program, you choose the trainer of your choice. So you do your own due diligence to choose training providers that you think will be the best fit for you. Because the general program is a two-year grant that can last up to a two-year grant. And you'll be awarded up to $250,000 to develop really custom training.
Yeah.
Sometimes people don't need that. Sometimes they need the one-off, two-off. They want to send someone to be certified in project management or IPC certification or blueprint reading. So it's important to kind of know what path you want to go down, mm-hmm. knowing that you can start one path and augment it or supplement it with the other program.
Yeah, absolutely. I know when we talk about the trainings that we do, and we always say that they're the solutions for employee retention. So that's mm-hmm. kind of our thing. And I know now that's one of the hot topics that we are looking into. And we talk about is, you know, you hear a lot about businesses not being able to actually get people to come into work. And then if they do get people, and hiring employees to come in, they're starting to see that they might could be good fit, but maybe they need the training. And so this is where we say these opportunities are, this is what this is cut and dry for. It is made for this. So these opportunities exist. Obviously we're partial to say, yeah, come to Mass MEP and do our trainings, because that's why you're here. But when we talk about it, we talk about this, when we used to talk about the Small Business Direct Access Program, we're extremely passionate in letting people know that there are a lot of other training programs that exist out there. It's not just us that are in there. How many providers, do you have a number of how many providers you have in your program?
It's hundreds, but I don't know how many specifically, but it's definitely hundreds.
So hundreds. And I mean, I know the courses that are now being offered are, I know what we offer in the Express program. And I don't even know what the number is for what we offer at MassMEP. So what is available to me, to the manufacturers right now out there, I can't wrap my brain around it. It's almost kind of mind blowing as to what opportunities exist for these people and how they should go in and take advantage of this. So, you know, we would always say, if you want a leadership program or all the programs, like you were saying, Kristen, if it's something that, you know, you have the time and you want to do over a 2-year process, mm-hmm. you know, and you can get it done, do it. But this new Express program and this, if you have, like you said, the one-off, and it's something, if you're bringing somebody new in, they have the right fit, but maybe they need a little bit of training, this is something you can take advantage of. You have the 3-week waiting, you know, the waiting period. It's not really a whole lot of time. It takes somebody 3 weeks to really get acclimated most times in a new work environment. So, mm-hmm. you know, it takes 21 days to form a habit. So once they form a habit of coming to work after 21 days, I think they're pretty much set. So now you can get them in and do some training for them too. So yeah, it's kind of where it is. Is there anything else that you think is really important that you kind of want to hit and kind of get out there right now? I mean, you're involved in a lot of stuff, a lot of things going on. You see a lot of stuff coming across from the Baker Polito administration. You guys are always connected and tied to that, but is there anything else that you see coming, you know, coming down the pike that maybe this is a time and maybe you want to talk about, or should we keep things top secret still? And maybe you can come back on another time and we can do another release.
So as far as what's coming down the line, Commonwealth Corporation is administering a program called Rapid Reemployment. And that is to address some of the unemployment that was resulted from the pandemic and people needing new training to get into new jobs. So there's, I actually am not as close to the program, so I don't want to speak too much out of turn, but it's definitely worth looking into because we've mm-hmm. identified those needs, those industries that are growing and their need employees to fill. We've identified the training providers and we're asking them to submit the grant application. And then the important piece is to have the employers at the table telling us what their needs are and what their employment outlooks are, so that we have those three pieces of the job seekers, the individuals doing the training, and then someone to hire them when that training is completed.
Right. Right. So a lot of silver linings. You know, I think that's one thing we've learned in doing the podcast over the past year and that we've been doing this and talking to a lot of people. I think we on our manufacturing side of things and we on the side of us as a state and the pride that exists within the state and our four borders, we definitely see that we've had a lot. I feel like we've seemed to have had a lot more silver linings than we ever could have expected from what has happened in the past year. So we're thankful for what we can do and what we can provide to everybody every day. So yeah. So everybody out there, when you're listening and if you're driving right now, I don't recommend you do this unless you have a co-pilot with you, but go to it's workforcetrainingfund.org. And then you can maneuver through their website pretty easily. I would say there's an about us and then the programs page and you click on the programs page and that's where you'll find it. Of course, we always have it at massmep.org. Emma, right? It's on our website.
Yep. It's on our website.
Yeah, she just updated it the other day. She's getting ready. She's got it all lined up for when everything goes live and what we can post on July 1st, what we can post on July 1st and getting ready. So we're super excited to make it.
Yeah, the information's all updated. And then on the 1st, there'll be the button that links you to the registration process.
Yeah.
See? Excellent.
Yeah.
We appreciate that.
Yeah, we'll do what we can.
I do want to point out, and this is a plug for MassMEP, is the sort of the overlap between Express and the general program. So one of the courses that I think it's relatively new within the last 2 years is that ESOL, the pre-lean ESOL.
Yeah. Yep.
So you do a lot of lean training with the general program. And this was a curriculum offered through the Express program to give businesses the language and tools that they needed to be more fully participating in the general program. And those are the types of things that we want to continue to invest in to help kind of bridge that gap and make sure that everyone, you know, as I said at the beginning, the employers know about the program, mm-hmm. that are contributing to it, can benefit from it, but that we want to make sure that the training reflects the needs of the Commonwealth, and that includes ESOL. And so I want to just thank you for your work in thinking through how to deliver training when you're, you know, considering the English language proficiency of the trainees. It's really an important piece.
Yeah, no, we appreciate it. I always try to pretend like I'm fluent in Spanish, by the way, but I'm really not. I'm terrible at it. But 7 years of high school Spanish, and I try to pretend like I can have a full blown conversation with someone.
I'm sure you can hold your own. I'm sure you know more than you think you do.
Yeah. Just enough that if I ever need to go there, I can get to the most important places possible.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I really appreciate your, you know, inviting us to take part in this podcast, and welcome any opportunities to speak with you and your members about opportunities with the Workforce Training Fund, answering any questions. Obviously, you know, going to our website is a great place to start, and really appreciate the invitation today. So thank you. Yeah.
Absolutely, Kristen. Well, thank you for joining us. We're also going to be putting together a little video, and we're going to put that on our website to kind of, it'll just show people and help people, for those that are visual learners, the best way to go through the process. And we like to do a fun little video for people to follow along, and we'll show them exactly how to walk through the process. So we're excited about it too. We're thankful that, you know, you could join us today and work with us on this. I know we're going to start digging into some other trainings we might be able to get involved in as well on our side. So just as much as we provide, we also like to accept and train as well. So yeah. So thanks. Thanks for joining us. Thanks, Emma, for being on here again.
Thanks.
And you get to next time. We're going to work on our introductions. We're slowly working into like a tag team event here. So
yeah. Hopefully I didn't butcher the first one too bad.
No, you're good. So Kristen, thank you again for taking your time. And like we said, workforcetrainingfund.org, and you can always go to massmep.org. And for everybody else, thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to the MassMEP Manufacturing Podcast, Transforming Manufacturing Enterprises. You can subscribe to our channel anywhere you listen to your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and you can always go to our website at massmep.org. So we'll see you next time, whether it's our space, your space, or cyberspace.